You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Can I just say that vindication smells sweet? It was about a week ago.
I can't get my mic up again.
It was about a week ago on this program that I was being mocked because I couldn't fill out my benefits.
Rightfully mocked. It's a very simple process.
Yes.
It's so stupid.
And I believe Dana called me old. Mm-hmm. I don't think the word antiquated came out, but basically along those lines.
I think fuddy-duddy might have been one.
Yeah.
Definitely fuddy-duddy was in there.
Yeah. Because I had to go downstairs and have Joanne help me fill out my benefits package. Mm-hmm. Couldn't get the computer to work properly. Mm-hmm. And today, for about 30 minutes before the show, Dana was filling out her benefits, or should I say not filling out her benefits, and had to call on Joanne for help.
Why did it take 30 minutes?
Sam, my computer just kept freezing. It froze, freeze, froze, freeze, froze, freeze. It was.
And according to Joanne, it's because Dana had the same tab opened 24 times on her computer.
You know why? Because it kept freezing. And I'm not, look, I'm sorry.
What are you doing?
We need to clean this screen in here because it's dirty. And when I go to look at you, when you're complaining about me or whatever it is you complain about, it's too difficult to see you through that screen. Plus, I have something I want to show you. It's a surprise for you. Well, and sort of for Sam, actually. We have some breaking news that you do not know about, and I am super excited to tell you about.
All right.
You know that they unveiled
or unveiled,
John Krasinski as the sexiest man alive of 2024.
Correct.
And even one of my girlfriends like today was like, did you think that was like a good choice? Like it actually came up today with a group of my girlfriends. So it turns out there are other people in the magazine, like best football sexy player. Clearly, Travis Kelce, best musician.
Did Kelce get that?
Yes, I believe so. There's a musician category. There's all kinds of categories.
Okay.
But did you know that for the first time ever, they have launched a new category? Yep, it's right there. I stopped by to get the magazine. And it is sexiest radio host.
No way. That's fake. That's fake. Get that away from me.
I printed it off so that our listeners, and they can see this if they go to Facebook. Would you like to read your unveiling of Sexiest Man Alive?
Well, it's a mock cover of People magazine.
It is not a mock cover. I mean, I think the listeners have spoken, and you are clearly the sexiest man alive.
It just says Scott Parks, sexiest man alive, in probably the most compromising photograph I've ever taken in my life.
It's your GQ outfit.
Unbelievable. And it said inside, his devotion to Wheel of Fortune, command of 80s music trivia, and openness about his refusal to wear underpants. The amazing rise of the sweet, smoldering superstar.
Sam? For 30 seconds, could you leave your post and just come in here and stand next to Scott?
Sure.
Okay. As he comes in, I just hold that up so that our listeners can see it. And we're going to, this is already on social on the Dana Wright KMBZ page. Now, come on, give me the sultry look. Give me those pouty lips. There you go. You know, you like those pouty lips. All right. What Sam doesn't know, and he's on his way in.
Oh, is there one of him too?
All right. This year, it was tough, Sam, because there was a tie.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Look at you.
I'm going to let you read your Sexiest Man Alive cover.
Well, it's November 14th, 2024. People Magazine, Samuel Stevie, Sexiest Man Alive. He's just so tall. No one pushes our buttons quite like Sam.
Mm.
Thank you. Thank you.
You nerds.
That is the most compromising photo. You thought yours was compromising.
Man.
Okay.
I mean,
so you guys, the photo of Sam.
This is a full frontal.
Let me just tell you, the photo of Sam, you got some man spreading going on there. And thanks to Sam's beautiful girlfriend for playing along and sending me that photo. Clearly, the listeners have spoken. I have attached to the Facebook post, ladies, a printable, downloadable version for your magazine reading pleasure with instructions. Well, actually, if you just go to Dana Wright KMBZ Facebook, Sam, we'll play the instructions.
Okay.
Because people kind of want to play along, and I get that. So, you know, they always ask, like, where do we get that photo? Like, what do you want to, you know, how can we be involved? So I posted the photos.
Okay.
But there's...
Which was unnecessary.
Totally unnecessary. But, you know, I don't want John Krasinski to have all the fun this week.
No.
I mean, you know, I feel like...
I might get this framed.
You should frame it.
Oh, yours is totally
frameable.
Frame
it for Christmas and give it to your mom. I will fall over laughing. Frame that for Christmas and give it to St. Margaret.
I might.
And to your brother, because they're not listening.
This is the worst photograph I have ever taken in my life. Isn't this the one you put in the frames on my birthday?
It was.
No, that's the picture that we did. Who wore it better?
Yeah, it was in the trio of photos.
Oh, that's right. The one in the frames at CVS and every other store across the metro was me in the cockpit of a plane.
Okay, when you have it, Sam, please.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because you just teed that right up. There is a printable, downloadable version of the 2024 cover of People Magazine's Sexiest Radio Host Alive. I mean, you want to frame it? I don't know if you can download it. You can use it as a bookmark. I don't know if we'll have time.
It has to be a big book.
This is clean, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Hey, guys. I'm hiding in the studio. We're about to go on the air. There is a new Sexy Man Alive. You've seen it. People Magazine. But we need you to break a tie. It's a tie, actually, this year. No one knows this. You're the first to find out. Between our own Scott Parks... Listen, I need you. I'm going to put these in the comment section. I'm going to put the two photos. The boys do not know we're doing this at 2 o'clock. I need you to print them and then go out and find People Magazines and then slip these inside
the
precious, sexiest man alive so that when people buy the one of John Krasinski, they open it and they're like, oh my gosh, what is this? Well, yes, I do believe that Scott Parks is the sexiest.
Absolutely not.
Okay, I'm going to do it now. I'm doing it right now. I'm going to put the photos on Facebook. And then you know what to do. Okay, good, good. And include photos. Include photos when you do it.
Okay, this has gone too far.
It's like a bonus edition every time. It's like the lottery of People Magazine. So you're just thinking you're going to go in. You see it at the checkout counter. Yes, I heard John Krasinski is the sexiest man alive. But what you don't know is that perhaps when you get that magazine home.
Maybe there's more than one.
And you open that magazine, there could be bonus content inside of it just for our listeners.
Oh, my God.
It's fabulous. Congratulations, both of you.
Thank you.
Truly, very well deserved.
Sam, well
quite
earned.
The honor.
Well earned.
Thank you. Yeah. Yours, definitely. Mine.
Thank you.
But
thank
I
you,
appreciate
brother.
It.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.
All right, quick break. You're something else, kid. You're something else. 913
Do we have to go with that photo of me?
It's rather intrusive.
You take that up with your significant other.
What were you thinking when that photograph was taken?
Would you like to know the history of that photograph?
I would, Sam, because...
He was thinking he's the sexiest man alive.
Let's just say it's shot from your feet.
Well, you may notice that I'm holding a microphone, and I've got spotlights on my face.
Mm-hmm.
That is actually a screenshot
a
of a video
shoot.
Of me doing karaoke on a stage in Nashville.
He's multi-talented.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And of course, I had to sit down. The song was about sitting on a truck bed. I had to sit on the edge of the stage and kick my leg up.
That's why he pushes so many buttons. It's right there on the cover.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you push some buttons in that photograph. I'll tell you right now.
The right ones.
Diggity, diggity.
Congrats to you both.
Thank you. 913-586-7798. We begin this afternoon with a bit of a sad story. This one's from the Kansas City Star. A 19-year-old college student with a severe peanut allergy died after she took multiple bites of a brownie made with peanut flour, according to her family. Hannah Glass, who was a junior at Maranatha Baptist University in Watertown, Wisconsin, sadly was taken off life support on November 10th following the allergic reaction she suffered 5 days prior. In a series of posts on Facebook, her family detailed the final days of Hannah's life, which culminated in an honor walk at the hospital and her organs being donated. The parents of Glass said their daughter became violently ill after eating a brownie that she received from a friend on campus. Quoting here from her dad, David, the second bite, she knew something was wrong. We believe because this product contained roasted peanut flour, separate from oily peanut butter, that masked this. By the time she called her parents, she had already vomited and broken out in a rash, but she seemed to be otherwise okay. A family friend went to help the college student, who laid down on her stomach after taking Benadryl. That's when, according to family, things took a turn for the worse. Hannah rolled on her side, quoting here from the family. Hannah rolled on her side, then immediately curled up into the fetal position and began complaining of extreme shortness of breath and discomfort. She was told to get down and asked where her EpiPen was. She told the location of the pen, but while partway down the ladder, she lost consciousness. I don't know why she was on a ladder. The EpiPen was found and administered, and 911 was called immediately. She was taken to a hospital by an ambulance. Doctors told her that her heart had stopped for several minutes along the way. Her condition required her to be transferred. She had seizures and was placed on a ventilator.
How can something that is so prevalent in our lives, something like peanut butter, cause death at this point in our medical history in the United States? I am still, I guess, struck by the fact that this can still happen. I know it's extremely rare. I know that if you have the nut allergy, it is extremely serious, and that's why the schools take it so seriously.
Correct.
But, you know, we're making breakthroughs in Alzheimer's research and all of the things. How do we not have something yet that reverse, you know, you can Narcan someone who's basically dead from fentanyl and bring them back, but we don't really have anything on the front end to prevent this yet. And well, I don't understand why.
You have an EpiPen.
That's on the back end, not on the front end.
Well, fair point. And it says here in the story, the EpiPen was found and it was administered.
But too late.
Yeah.
A test revealed, by the way, she had severe brain swelling leading to her body shutting down completely.
It's really hard to keep up with the steady increase in reactions to peanut allergies, and that causes a fear among parents, which then makes it worse because they don't introduce it to their child. I'm not suggesting you go ahead and willy-nilly introduce it to your child. Do it with the presence of a doctor or with the advice of a doctor until a later age. And then when they do get that influx of peanut, they have a severe anaphylactic response.
Okay, but I have so many questions, Sam. And if you have a family member, my God, for you know, that has this, that, and I would worry every single day as a parent. Sure. She ate a brownie. You would not think, is there peanut butter in this? No. Okay. She ate a brownie with peanut flour in it. I've never even heard of peanut flour.
Nor have I.
And that caused this. My question is for anyone who understands these allergies, there has to be a first time as a child that you eat peanut, but there has to be a first one. And why aren't you just killed the second you have it for the very first time?
That's a hell of a question.
Does it grow worse as you get older?
The longer that you avoid a potential allergen, the worse the reaction will be when your body is not as malleable as a baby's is, where it can overcome these things and learn to deal with it.
Now, I'm going to ask a question that came in on the text line. I was thinking the same thing, and I am not victim blaming. I want to be clear. It is so sad that this young lady lost her life. But if your allergy to peanuts is that severe, that strong, why would you eat anything that anyone gives you? Part of, and again, I'm not trying to victim blame here, but part of life, when you have an allergy that bad, that potentially fatal, is you don't eat out, ever.
Her father says that her friend brought the brownie from a women's group on campus. Unfortunately, the treat was made with peanut flour for several gluten-free students. They had made it with peanut flour for the gluten-free crowd.
Mm. Mm.
And so when she probably said, was this made with peanut butter? The answer was no. But who would have known about the flour?
913-586-7798, 586-7798. Jennifer in North Kansas City, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
So I have a severe peanut allergy, and I also have a couple of young kids. So I can tell you a little bit about onset and also kind of how doctors, pediatricians advise we handle it now. So I didn't really develop the allergy until I was a little bit older. I think I was like 6 or 7 the first time I noticed just not feeling good after eating something with peanut in it. And most food allergies get more severe once you develop the allergy. The reaction gets more severe the more times you are exposed to it. So something may not have been deadly before, but your next reaction might be. Now the advice for parents who have babies is these highly allergenic foods. There's a list of about 8 or 9 that most food allergies are in one of those categories. You are supposed to expose them early and often, and there is actually a lot of data about precisely how much and how often can prevent the development of the allergy later on.
Yes, and
so
Jennifer,
thank
you for the call, but everyone needs to consult their physician, and obviously
I want to ask her a question real quick, though.
If you have a little one, I just don't want to, and I believe you, Jennifer, I've heard the same thing, but please talk to your healthcare provider about that.
But Jennifer, with a severe peanut allergy, do you ever eat out?
I do. You kind of learn which things it might show up in, and restaurants have a lot of liability if they are incorrect about what is on the menu. So, you know the places that, you know, you can rely on. There are some places, I don't avoid places that don't have this, but there are places that say we are a peanut-free facility. Same thing for if somebody has like celiac, there are places that like we are a gluten-free kitchen altogether. And so, somebody who does have a very severe one would, you know, they might feel safer going to one of those.
Okay.
Right.
Wait, Jennifer, real quick. Now I have one more question. Do you just take the EpiPen with you everywhere? And that, to me, that's not, how do you live your life if you can't go anywhere without that thing?
Yeah. So I used to take it with me everywhere. It is, frankly, it's been a long time since I've had any kind of accident. And so I have gotten perhaps maybe a little bit lazy or careless with it. But there are people who they just take it with them everywhere. It's always in their bag. And, they make sure that the people that they're with know how to get to it.
Jennifer, do appreciate the call. Thank you for it. 913-586-7798. Suzanne in Lawrence. Hello.
Hello. I wanted to tell you about my daughter who has a 7-month-old daughter. And the father is highly allergic to any kind of nut at all. In fact, he will die if exposed to any of it.
Wow.
And so the pediatrician told my daughter that she should be exposing the baby to it. And my daughter's like, how am I supposed to do that? So they told her to have spoonfuls of peanut butter, almond milk, anything, and consume those and breathe into the baby's face.
Oh.
And so she is exposed to it without having the reaction.
Huh.
It's a real thing.
But even that would terrify me, because how do you know the first time you're
I would do that in a doctor's office.
Yeah. Well, that's why you do it with an allergist on hand. You don't just willy-nilly at home, oh, I'm going to go ahead and give them this thing that I think they're allergic to.
913-586-7798, 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Talk about this story out of the Kansas City Star, but it's from Wisconsin, where a 19-year-old college junior by the name of Hannah Glass sadly lost her life when a friend, she goes to Maranatha Baptist University in Wisconsin, and Hannah was handed a brownie from a friend that contained peanut oil. She's highly allergic to peanuts. And sadly, Hannah, who was on life support for 5 days, was taken off life support. And she passed. Telephone number is 913-586-7798. Stephanie in Overland Park. Hello.
Hey, thanks, guys, for taking my call. I appreciate you talking about this. I'm a mom of an 18-year-old that was diagnosed at 18 months with a peanut allergy severe. We tried to do the oral immunotherapy, and it did not work for her. So I live with the fear of what has just happened to this family. And one thing that I wanted to say is an EpiPen only buys you 15 minutes of time. It does not save you.
Oh.
It does not cure what has happened. And luckily, somebody told me that early on, because it's not the end-all be-all. It just gives you time to get to the emergency room or get from where you are to somewhere where you can get medical attention. And so I think that's extremely important to let people know. And also, there's a component with kids in schools. Yes, Dana, you said schools are really good about it. The public schools are very good about it. My daughter goes to private school, and it's a little bit lackadaisical on what's brought into the classrooms. So there's always that feeling with her, or in the past, of, you know, oh, you can't have it. So she's always kind of missing out or not being included in part of it. So I've always had to be on top of that and been called a helicopter mom because of it. But who cares about that?
I would not. I would live in fear every day.
But Stephanie, how did you learn that your child was allergic to peanuts at the, I believe you said at 18 months?
18 months. Her dad gave her a lick of peanut butter off of his finger, and she immediately went into hives and vomiting. And that's how we found out. And the other thing you guys talked about is why is this so prevalent? We were told by our allergist, and I definitely recommend everyone go to specialists because it is scary, that it's a genetic thing and that more people are procreating, I guess, that are have more of the sensitivities. And it's the protein that's in the nuts. It's not the oil, but I'm not going to get into all that. I'm going to let the doctors tell you all about that. But We roast peanuts. Some countries boil peanuts. There's a lot to the nut allergy. And not only is she severely allergic to peanuts, she's allergic to all nuts.
All tree nuts.
And so we have to read labels. And once you read a label on something, doesn't mean the next time you go to the grocery store that the label, they might have moved the factory. So you can't assume that the factory is the same or the equipment is the same.
Stephanie, real quick, let me ask you something. We've got a lot of people that want to get in. We want to get to them, but this is fascinating, and I'm so sorry you're living with this. But I don't think a lot of people know that the EpiPen is just like a stopgap. It's not like Narcan that just brings you back and
you know, I've never heard
it reverses it. So it gives you enough time to get to the hospital. What more can they do for you at the hospital once that level of allergen has seeped into your body?
I don't know that, because luckily we haven't had to do that. That's something somebody that qualified should tell you, because I don't know that level of care, and thank goodness.
I don't want you to find out.
Yeah, we do live with this, but at least we can prevent it. So yes, it's scary, but there are ways to prevent. And you go to restaurants, but you have to alert, you know, the servers, and you know, I have a nut allergy, peanut, you know, that kind of thing. So one more thing, and I'll get off. The Mahomes family has two children that have allergies. They have just become spokespeople with one of the major allergy networks in the nation.
Good.
And I just read an article yesterday. So you guys might want to plug into that, because I think that's fabulous. And they're going to work with the restaurants in Kansas City to be more allergen friendly.
Okay. All right, Stephanie.
That's phenomenal.
You had asked what they do at the hospital. I've gotten the pleasure to go to the hospital and wait in the ER waiting room with two people who were in anaphylaxis. And
two people at the same time?
No. Two separate occasions. I got to sit in the ER waiting room while they were being treated for anaphylaxis. The doctor told me that they hooked them up to an IV and essentially gave them what is Benadryl in a liquid form, but you know, the ER's version of Benadryl.
Amanda in Overland Park. Amanda, hello.
Hey, y'all. Happy Friday.
It's Thursday.
It's Friday for me.
Oh. Well, happy Friday to you. Happy Thursday to us.
I get a 3-day weekend, so it's definitely a Friday. So I'm an executive chef, and I have issues with it for a few ways. I'm highly allergic to coconut myself, and I physically carry my EpiPen with me. And then having to cook and create safe environments for other people that are allergic to things. We have all kinds of different systems, boards, knives, everything that are completely separate and clean completely separately so that no cross-contamination happens. And I have experienced being in the ER, and Sam is right. It is a powerful Benadryl-like stuff that they just control the anaphylaxis, and they control all of my like blood pressures and things like that when I have gotten it. Some of the things also to know is that ambulances do not always carry EpiPens. So if you have somebody that's having an anaphylactic reaction, you need to tell 911 that it is an anaphylactic so that they can send an ambulance that has EpiPens. I have experienced that myself where they did not have an EpiPen, and thankfully I had two. And sometimes you get a flashback where you end up having to take a second or a third or sometimes even a fourth trying to get to the hospital.
So that was my question. Can you give a second EpiPen when the first one starts to wear off?
Yes. And it has to be in the, like, a real big muscle. And it's not like a just, you know, hit the button and stab it. You actually have to stab it into your leg. And it takes like 10 seconds for the EpiPen to even empty out into you.
Is there a point where it's too late to administer the EpiPen?
Not that I'm aware of. I think that it will help because basically what it's trying to do is slow down the reaction. Like for me, even things like bath products that have coconut in them, you know, like shampoos and things like that will make me go into anaphylaxis. And it controls it enough that you can get yourself help.
Got it. Okay. Amanda, thank you. You would have to take into consideration, can you even leave the country?
Scott, it's so restrictive. And you know what else breaks my heart about this? Hannah Glass was 19.
Yeah.
And skews young for a junior in college. But what does that say to you at age 19?
She was very smart.
She was very smart, and what else? If she is in college and away,
I don't know.
I wonder statistically, and this would be every parent's nightmare, when the reaction happens that is this severe, is it the first time you're away from home? You know, you go off, now you're grown and flown, and you are an adult. You are an adult, technically. We will send an 18-year-old to war. You are an adult. It breaks my heart that she was 19.
Well, and as a previous caller stated, when you go so long without a reaction, you begin to get loose with your concern about having a reaction.
Let's go to Brian in Kansas City. Brian, good afternoon. Hello.
Hey, guys. Like I was telling the call taker, I just want to clarify something from the previous caller. She wasn't wrong in the effect or in the fact that ambulances not carry EpiPens. That is correct. But what we do carry is IV epinephrine and IV Benadryl. So, correct, EpiPens are a stopgap, and once we get there, we will establish how severe the anaphylaxis is, and we can get Benadryl, which is the lesser of the two, or if we need to, we can give more epinephrine during transport. Once they get to the hospital, they're going to either start a Benadryl drip, and this is all based on the severity, with steroids or a Benadryl drip, again, with steroids, because what the steroids is going to do is going to help all of the medication work quicker. And to go back to one other thing that Dana said, the Narcan is also a stopgap. When we give Narcan or when somebody else gets Narcan on a fentanyl overdose, that is only going to last so much time before that person is going to go back into the overdose from the fentanyl. So it is also just a stopgap.
Thank you, Brian. I didn't know that either.
So regarding the fentanyl, when you get them to the hospital, what do they put them on?
Narcan, more Narcan.
Until the fentanyl wears off?
Yes, that's because what opioids do is they attack the neurons inside the brain, and as soon as the body has processed by metabolized all of the fentanyl, once that's over with, the overdose is done. But until the amount of Narcan that they've consumed has been metabolized, they're going to continue to overdose. It's a matter of severity, whether the respiratory drive is then decreased or they're completely unconscious and not breathing at all. But Narcan is only a stopgap, especially when it comes to the Narcan that that we're giving out to civilians now. The intranasal, which is what you do, you give it in the nose. That only stops the overdose for a short amount of time, which is why you have to call 911 during an overdose. Yeah. That way we can get there or take them to the hospital, whichever one. But so that way we can continue the Narcan if we need to, and get them to the hospital so we can continue that care and get rid of all the fentanyl. Same thing with Benadryl and epinephrine and EpiPens. As soon as until the body's metabolized all of the protein from whatever the allergic reaction is from, yeah, it's going to continue.
Ryan, thanks for the call, man.
We've had those proteins mentioned multiple times. Another reason that it's more prevalent now than it was years ago is that we in America only roast peanuts, where we used to boil and fry them more often than roasting. Roasting allows all the proteins to stay intact.
Thank you, Sam. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
What is happening?
What are you talking about?
Well, I just looked up what Sam and you were talking about during a break, and I didn't really believe you, but it's true. We don't have to talk about it now. I just didn't. Dana, I'm not saying I didn't believe you.
Dana, Sam and I report the news.
I know. I'm not saying I didn't.
Oh, we only speak in facts.
We'll get to that story in a minute.
I've got it.
Oh, you do? All right. From the New York Post, football star turned commentator Jason Kelce has stolen the Queen of Christmas crown from Mariah Carey, at least for 1 week.
Thank God.
When he and Stevie Nicks scored a number one hit on the iTunes Holiday Songs chart with Maybe This Christmas.
Now, this album might also include some of the current players of the Philadelphia Eagles. You guys remember in previous years when Jason was still part of the team, he made all of the players, specifically the linemen, join a group that he named the Philly Specials. And they have released two albums, one for each year. And this year, he brought in Stevie Nicks. For those of you on podcast who want to know what the heck we were just listening to, that's called Maybe This Christmas by the Philly Specials.
And so Travis asked him during their podcast, Jason, how does it officially feel to be the Queen of Christmas?
Wow.
He says, I am still in awe that actually happened. It is really, really cool. There is no percent chance any song that I'm in should be streaming number one on any service in any genre. And Travis replied back, don't give yourself too much credit. It's Stevie Nicks. I like it. I think.
Now, I will say musically, if we're going to be a critic here.
No, fine.
Can I be the critic?
I'm happy to be a critic, but you can take the floor.
All right. The music is nice. The lyrics are wonderful. I've never been a huge fan of Stevie Nicks' voice to begin with.
Oh, I love her voice.
I think she sounds like she's got her nose plugged when she sings. And I know that we're all things Kelce on the show, but Jason Kelce was really good at playing football. He's really good on ESPN commentating on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, he's not going to quit his day job.
He sucks at singing.
Okay, but he does not suck at turning songs into gold, which is what that Eagles Christmas album did. And now, I think they raised money for charity.
He was as flat as I've ever heard a singer.
I was just about to say, the last two albums they put out were really good. They had a lot of vocal range. It sounded like they really put in some effort.
It was very sweet.
Both he and Stevie in this song sound flatter than a pancake.
I mean, Stevie Nicks.
Do you guys
needs to stop?
It is not even 24 hours after World Kindness Day.
Well, that day is over.
And here you sit urinating all over a happy story about Maybe This Christmas. I love the song. I would prefer there be a line in there that maybe this Christmas we'll keep winning because the last time we lost was last Christmas. If you're a Chiefs fan. Did you see that set today?
No.
The last time the Chiefs lost.
I was there. I remember.
Was
really?
Was the holidays last year.
That is true.
That's what 9-0 looks like.
Somebody says the CD cost $115?
No.
Ah, I agree with Scott. Thank you.
Well, don't pay $115 because it's free on Spotify.
Boys to Men also guest star on this record. Proceeds will go to support the Children's Crisis Treatment Center Holiday Toy Drive, as well as the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. So keep vomiting all over that lovely story.
I think the proceeds
go to help sick children.
Well, I think the cause is wonderful.
Why do you hate sick children?
You want to hear vocals that aren't flat? This gym right
Amen.
Here.
Amen.
Okay.
Dan Weinbaum has the news in 2 minutes.
Okay.
Enjoy this gift.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.